Welcome to TC Realty's Nonsense Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Chamberlain, along with my co-host, Kevin Kobach, and our great producer, Kevin 2.0. Let's get it. This segment's brought to you by Rahill Home Inspections.
You know, I think pretty much every episode that we've done, we always harp back on how important the home inspection is.
Sure.
Because, you know, your real estate agent knows houses, knows what they're seeing, but we're not, as you say, experts and don't try to play one.
Right.
So I've got to know Joe a little bit. I know you know a little better than I do.
Know Joe for years.
I got to thinking about, he said on one of our podcasts that he used to be a real estate agent.
Yep, he did.
And he has background in home improvement, so building houses and stuff.
He's got a contractor's license.
And that has got to be something. So talk about how important that is and how different that separates him from other home inspectors.
Because I don't know any other home inspector, and we've used a lot of good ones, don't get me wrong.
Sure, sure.
But I don't know any home inspectors that can wear these hats.
Right.
Real estate agent, a licensed contractor, and a home inspector.
It gives you a different eye of what you're looking at.
It does. So he has a little more empathy for our clients.
Right.
As a contractor, he knows what he's looking for as far as how he would have built it.
Yep.
And then as a home inspector, you know, he's doing his due diligence and checking it all. Now, I have got nothing but great feedback from clients because he will walk them through every step of what he does. So we're proud to have Joe as a sponsor on the TC Realty's Nonsense Podcast.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to using him some more, and you know, as I go down the road.
Yeah, and all you got to do is just Google Rahill Home Inspection. His name's Joe Rahill. He'll be glad to hook you up, and just tell him that the TC Realty family sent you.
That's right, folks.
Folks. Hey guys, welcome to this week's podcast of TC Realty's Nonsense Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Chamberlain, along with my co-host, whose phone just went off, Kevin Hobach.
I don't think that was mine.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
We have a special guest here with us today from Bluegrass Land Title, and it's Marcia Ball. Marcia, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine.
So,
good to be here.
What we're going to do today, folks, is we're going to bring in Marcia to talk about a 1031 exchange. And for those of you all that do not know, I've had a little bit of experience with 1031s. I have a couple investors that use them quite often. So tell us just a little bit about what a 1031 exchange is and what are the benefits of one.
Basically, a 1031 exchange is it's meant for investment properties. Really doesn't apply to personal property like private residences, but it can apply to almost any type of real property if you're using it for business or investment.
Okay.
The advantage of a 1031 exchange is that you sell one property, you purchase another, and you can push off the capital gains in that property you sold.
And that's the big thing for a lot of my people that are into investments are, you know, it's not the normal, you know, your permanent residence for 2 years and that type of thing, how it would normally be on a on the taxes. But this way here, they can just push their taxes away. Eventually, they're going to have to pay them.
Correct.
But it just saves them a little time right now from doing it. I have a client that trades farms all the time, so he'll buy one farm, sell one farm, and put it all in 1031s.
Correct. As long as your intention is that it's an investment or a business property, there's no limit on the timing in terms of holding it or selling it.
Now, they do have a time frame from once they sell to they have to have a new one under contract, correct?
Correct. There's really two critical dates when you're talking about a 1031.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you sell a property, you have 45 days in which to identify a second property to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can identify multiple properties so that if one deal falls through, you've got a backup.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have 180 days to actually purchase that second property or multiple properties.
And close on it. Mm-hmm.
If you have not closed at the end of the 180 days, mm-hmm. then the exchange, which is what you call a purchase and then a sale and then a purchase under a 1031,
mm-hmm.
Then that sale, that exchange is void.
Okay.
And you are going to pay taxes on that property you sold.
Now, when you say you have to identify one within 45 days, for the people that don't know, how does that go? Do they talk to the person that's handling a 1031 and say, here's the properties I have identified?
You have to identify it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
So a property address, a deed book and page number, something that's very specific on mm-hmm. the property. And so you identify it in writing to the exchange company, to the qualified intermediary.
Now, exchange companies, that's something that Bluegrass Land Title handles also?
We do 1031 exchanges. We work with a national qualified intermediary because that lets us be broader in how we can do exchanges.
Okay.
Qualified intermediary in exchange terms, in 1031 terms, is a third party who's not involved in the deal in any other way except to handle the exchange. So they handle the monies. They handle the paperwork. They make sure you follow the IRS rules.
Sure.
And they're the ones that are going to be the person that makes it an exchange.
Okay.
Because if any of the money is commingled with your own money, et cetera, it's no longer qualifies under a 1031 exchange.
Gotcha.
So this is new to me, and I know it's new to somebody that's listening. We get a lot of business with people that flip houses. So I flipped a couple in my time. So let's just say I have a house, I'm flipping, I sell it, I make, just to keep the numbers even, $100,000. And I want to take that $100,000 and invest it into my next home. Is all this still qualify under the exchange that you're talking about?
No.
No.
Because you said a key word, flip.
Flip, okay.
Flips are not considered investment property under the IRC, the Internal Revenue Code, IRC, in case I tend to use that. So if your intention is to make quick money,
okay.
So a flip, lots you're holding to sell as quick as you can, those types of properties aren't considered valid properties for a 1031 exchange. It's more a long-term property, an investment property,
a rental
property, a
business,
a rental, those kinds of things.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I have a client. He first contacted me and said, hey, you know, I've got a lot of money. I want to start investing in properties, and particularly land, just because it's the one thing that God does not make any more of. It's our last known undisputed commodity.
For sure.
So he was like, you know, I want to save as much capital gains tax as I can. And so I had to explain to him that, yes, you will save it initially, but in the long run, you will be, the IRS is going to get their money. Whether it be now or later, they're going to get their money.
That's certain.
You're just kicking the can down the road.
You are.
You are.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's really good because, you know, it's great for investors because some of these times, these tax bills are huge on them. You know, the capital gains tax can be huge on them. And that would necessarily kind of cut down on what kind of property they could purchase next.
Correct. And I mean, and if you're looking at somebody that's thinking about investing over a 30 or 40 year period, that being able to keeping on rolling those investments really puts off the time when they are going to have to pay, and that may put it off as long as when they're dead.
Yeah, I mean, make it somebody else's problem.
Yeah, I mean, you really can. You can say, for my lifetime, I'm going to do this, but
I can make it my kids' problem?
You can make it your kids' problem.
I'm on board. Yeah, I'm on board with that, and they can just deal with it.
So what does a 1031 exchange cost a client?
It depends on the type. A typical 1031 exchange, which means you sell a property first and then you buy another property using those funds. It's usually in the $700 to $800 range.
Okay.
If you do what's called a reverse exchange, let me explain that a little.
We just did one and it blew my mind.
That's not that hard.
I know it's not.
They're not hard, but they do take more paperwork, more making sure you dot your I's and cross your T's. So a reverse exchange is what it sounds like. You purchase the property before you sell the property. And it requires extra handling. The 1031 exchange company, for example, will probably set up a separate new LLC to hold that property until you can actually sell your first property. And those kinds of exchanges are more expensive. They can be, for both sides of them, they can be in the $7,000 or so.
Oh, wow. So that's a large increase.
It's a lot more expensive. But you think about all the extra work that the 1031 exchange company has to handle.
And these are all business. 1031's all business transactions, right?
Like
if you're if it's all business. So if you operate as an individual in any way, shape, or form, this is not for you.
No. You can do it as an individual. It just has to be business property. I should have.
Okay, I got you. I understand.
We have a lot of 1031s that we've handled that are individuals. They're not LLCs or corps.
Yeah, my client's doing it now. He's an individual. He doesn't have an LLC or S-Corp or anything like that. And he's actually getting some revenue off of the agricultural farmland. So he's making some funds off that. And it's not a lot. It's about $3,000 or $4,000 a year that the farmer down the road pays him. But, you know, he gets to have it as an investment. He gets to use it as hunting property. He gets to do whatever he wants to do with it. Oh, you're right.
Sorry about that.
No, no problem. And so that way, you know, then, you know, when he's ready to sell it, which we just listed it, he's ready to purchase his next one. Or he can just pay his capital gains tax and get out.
Yep, you can decide.
I got you.
Really, any U.S. entity, so an individual, an LLC, a corp, even a trust, as long as they pay U.S. taxes, they qualify for a 1031 exchange. Even a foreign individual qualifies for a 1031 exchange if they pay U.S. taxes.
I got you.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
No. So what else out there should people know about a 1031 exchange?
Well, for the normal properties, I think we've covered it pretty well. There are some applications that, if you're careful, you can use them a little more creatively. Mm-hmm. You can use them on vacation homes. If you rent
them out.
Rent them out, and you're careful not to use it any more than your rental.
Okay, so the rental needs to be 51%?
It's a little different than that, but you'd have to dig deeper, but it can be done. Mm-hmm. And you can still use the property for a couple of months a year as long as you rent it considerable time the rest of the year.
So when you say rent, I know a few Airbnb people listen to this. Is that considered?
You can deal with Airbnb properties under 1031 exchanges.
Oh, okay. Because that's something that a little bit down the road I want to kind of look into myself. So if I was to buy a property with the intent of making an Airbnb, this 1031 exchange is something that I should look at going under.
Absolutely. And even if you're going to occupy the property a very short period of time during the year, you're probably still going to qualify for the 1031 if your Airbnb business is doing well.
We have to be under 50% usage, you said?
No, the actual math is you have to rent it for at least 14 days a year, and you cannot use it for more than 14 days a year, or 10%, I always forget this number, it's either 10 or 20% of the days you do rent it.
Okay.
So it's like the greater of those two numbers.
But the exchange part wouldn't come into you were ready to sell it to purchase another one.
Correct.
Because you would owe no taxes just on purchasing it.
Correct.
That.
Right, because most people at Airbnb just buy them and sit on them.
Right.
They're not.
It would be more like
renting them out long term.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It would be more like you got started and you wanted a bigger one or a better one or something, and then you could take that Airbnb property you already had and swap it for another.
Now, can you take that and say you bought it really good, and you can sell it enough to buy two properties with the one sale? Can you exchange that onto two properties?
You can.
As long as that amount of money is being transferred.
Exactly. It's the value, not the number.
Okay.
We're working with someone right now who probably will end up, they sold a very large piece of property, and they will probably end up buying 5 or 6 properties by the time it's all over.
And that's perfectly fine.
That's perfectly legal.
Perfect. So that's a good example of how you can keep growing an Airbnb is to bigger and better each time. You know, it may be in Lebanon Junction this month, and it might be in Florida next month.
Right. That's kind of my plan.
Right.
I'm going to start in Lebanon Junction and end up in Florida.
Right.
So that is something that, and does this, so you do make a good point. Does this work across states?
It does.
Oh, okay. So if I bought an Airbnb in Florida, you can use this exchange to work that out.
Correct. It's one of the reasons we work with a national exchange.
It's basically based on the IRS, which is a federal entity.
Exactly.
And that's something that can be handled through you.
It can't. The exchange part can be. You'll probably have to have a local.
Through the closing process would be different. But the exchange process, even if it's out across state lines, can be handled through you.
And you can sell a Kentucky property and buy a Florida property. They don't have to be in the same state.
Hmm.
So if people out there that are listening to this that have investment property and they're looking to maybe expand or getting, you know, something bigger and better, you can call Bluegrass Land Title and they can walk you through the steps and how it all works.
We can help them.
Okay. Any more questions, Kev?
No, that's stuff I had no clue about.
Yeah, so 1031s, you know, I've been getting a couple questions about lately here. One of our agents, Tanya Renfro, is doing a reverse one right now. So I had to do a lot of research on it. I knew a little bit about it, but not enough. So I thought, man, it's a good idea to bring somebody on that knows a lot about the 1031s because it's really out of my wheelhouse because we don't do it every single day.
Right.
You know, it's very select clients that even involve in a 1031 exchange?
Yeah, obviously we deal with individual buyers. I mean, we get investment people who are looking, but man, investment people, and rightfully so, because I want to be one down the road, are very particular. It's a slow, long process.
It is.
With them. They're not just buying the first thing they see. It's got to be the right fit.
Well, they were buying everything they could find right after when the foreclosure stops and they opened that back up. Boy, they were coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah, that market's changed a little bit. Because, you know, when I ended up in real estate because I was flipping houses. Hmm. That's how I got into it. Essentially, so that's information that's good to know. I know it's not for flips, but for people that want to rent, that's a great opportunity.
Well, Marsha, we do appreciate your expertise, and I really thank you for coming down today. Even though it wasn't a very long segment, you gave us a lot of great information, and that hopefully people out there listening can appreciate that and understand now a little better how that works to save some taxes. Everybody wants to not pay taxes right now.
Right now.
Or in your lifetime, if you can leave it to your kids to deal with that problem, that's a great thing too.
Yeah, I just make up my own taxes, so I don't. I mean, you can come at me if you want to. Yeah. I can prove most things.
Most things.
So,
thank you.
We really appreciate it, and we enjoy using Bluegrass, and they always handle all of our needs, and it's just a pleasure doing business with them.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Folks, stay tuned, and we'll be back with our nonsense portion. This segment's going to be brought to you by Amber Mahoney and Ruoff Mortgage. We both used Amber in the past.
Absolutely.
We know her capabilities and how she can help first-time homebuyers, refinancing, just about anything that you need program-wise. She's our go-to person.
I send a lot of my clients to Amber. She's very easy to get a hold of. She's always responsive to my calls. And every client I have sent to her have given nothing but good reviews back.
Right. So let's get through the legal stuff for Amber. Her NMLS number is 13526. You can reach her at 502-741-4612 or amber.mahoney, that's M-A-H-O-N-E-Y, at Ruoff, R-U-O-F-F.com. Ruoff Mortgage is an equal housing lender and member of the Better Business Bureau, NMLS number 141-868. This advertisement is not a commitment to lender qualifications are required.
And you let her know that Tom and Kevin sent you.
Hey guys, welcome back to the nonsense portion. I'm kind of looking forward to what Kevin has in store for us this week. So Kevin, what's going on, bub?
Same thing that was going on last time we gathered.
Okay, good deal.
So I want to start with a text that you and I got from our very own producer.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember the text that we got a few days ago? So it's very important that when you send it, this is a little public, we're going to start out with a public service announcement.
All right, a little PSA.
If you're going to send a text, sometimes you got to add content to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got a text and it said, and I'm pretty much quoting this right, do either one of you have a hookup on a mechanical horse?
No, bull.
Bull. Mechanical bull.
Did he put a smiley face emoji behind it?
He probably did. But the thing about it is, there was nothing else there.
Yeah.
It just said, do you have a hookup on a mechanical bull?
Yeah.
Now, that is something if you're going to send, let's put some context. There are certain things that if you send, you got to put some context behind
it. For sure, because you have no clue what he's thinking about.
Right, and he just left it.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, I know most of my mechanical bull hookups are... You know,
yeah,
not made for
children,
not available,
right?
And then you're because the first thing you think of is for what?
Yeah, why does he need a mechanical bull?
Right. So you make your own ideas.
Yeah, and your mind starts wandering. And next thing you know,
is he having a rodeo at his house?
Right. Is this for an Oling fans?
Is it
kind
is
of
it
situation
to make money? Has he started his own podcast?
Right. Right. So you just never know. He's over red faces could be right now because we found out it's actually for his church.
Right. I know. And that if you gave me 45 guesses.
It would not have been for church.
Never would I have guessed that he needs a mechanical bull for his church.
But we did realize that, or we did find out that mechanical bulls are lofty in price to rent.
Right. Which
we might need to open a mechanical bull company.
Because that's probably the first time I've ever, after we got up the conversation, I was like, how much does it cost to rent a mechanical bull?
Right.
And it was what, $500-$600 just for the
900. For how long? 2 hours?
Yeah, it was like 2-3 hours.
Yeah, wow.
Can we rent one at the Christmas party?
Oh, for sure. I'll be glad to.
We need to do that. Wherever we're gonna have it, let's get a mechanical bull.
What about the cook off? Casey's cook off.
Oh, yeah.
We can, it's chilly.
Take it to the soup cook-off?
Yeah, whoever finishes, you know, second.
Gets last.
You got to ride mechanical bull.
I done decided. I talked to Casey last week. I think I'm bringing lasagna to the...
I'm bringing a bowl of cereal.
Oh, there we go.
I'm bringing a bowl of cereal.
It'll probably get third.
Yeah, it'll get third. Well, I'm going to put it up with marshmallows.
Oh, you're going to doctor it up.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be amazing.
I cannot wait for that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, a couple things that we also have going on is, you know, Memorial Day just happened.
It did.
And I know you went to the lake and I went to the lake. And it got me thinking about bringing back, I think I'm getting older.
Oh, and there's no doubt.
I'm on the get off my lawn when it comes to boat etiquette.
Oh, I've been there, man. I know what you're talking about.
I think I spend more time being frustrated than I do enjoying myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a couple things, I just darted down like two or three. When you drive on the lake, you drive on it like you're on the road.
Absolutely. You be on the right side or the left side.
And if you're going to cut across, you just wait like you're at an intersection.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people have come to the conclusion that being on the lake is like being on a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just go wherever.
I know, it's frustrating as can be.
That, and I grew up driving a jet ski. But I could clothesline every single jet skier, I think, that's on the water.
Well, there's two types of people that I'll be very thankful I do not carry my pistol with me on the boat. And that one would be jet skiers.
Right.
And the other one's wakeboarders.
Oh, yeah, the wakeboarders.
I mean, those guys there drive me nuts. They want to get right next to you and throw out a 40-foot wake like you're at the ocean.
Or they drive right past my dock.
Yeah. And I found out that they're probably all overcompensating for something.
Do you think that's why they have wakeboards?
100%.
Okay.
You know, when you buy a $170,000 Mastercraft and you just ride around with your speakers blaring on 14.
Playing Nelly.
And, you know, you're just trying to send these big wakes out that you're only doing 15 mile an hour on.
So you're saying the guy on the Little John boat is the one the ladies should be going after?
100%. Okay. That dude's secure.
Right. He knows his place.
Right.
He just stands out there.
Yeah.
And I always made it a point. I never tubed my kids on a holiday weekend.
Absolutely not. Too
on
dangerous.
A Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock in the middle of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got about 4, 5, 6-year-olds tubing with 22 boats barreling down on them.
I find myself on the lake more days flipping people off than I do enjoying
it. I know,
and
that's what I'm saying. Like, so normally, like, when it's just Shay and I, we'll get on the boat, we drive to a particular cove, we tie up,
chill.
And we don't move.
Yeah, just chill. That's what we do.
Because
sometimes getting that to that cove is a problem.
I'm becoming angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want everybody to get up.
I want to fight everybody that comes by me.
Just get off the lake because you can't
navigate. And I think that's one of the reasons why I upgraded this year to a faster boat, because I wanted to get to my spot quicker so I wouldn't be as mad.
Right, that's probably a good decision.
But, you know, I get to the point where I just want to fight everybody on the water. You know, these jet skiers, they want to, you know, I throw out a pretty good wake behind me.
Right.
And they want to get, you know, 15 feet from my motor and jump the waves.
Right.
And there's never water patrol around when you want them to be.
No, they're around when you're sitting in a cove by yourself.
Smashed.
Right. That's when they come rolling up wanting to check your registration.
Right, right. Yeah. Can I board your boat?
Yeah.
You know.
That's what's happened.
Is there anything else on this boat that shouldn't be on here? Nothing but you, officer.
Yeah. There's that's it. That's right.
So, yeah, I understand your frustration. The older I get, the more I am get off my lawn kind of guy.
I won't do this, but we've talked about on holiday weekends, because when you have a place down there, it's a little bit easier. We've talked about just sitting on the boat.
Just chilling at the dock.
Not even leaving the dock.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I just get, and you know, Shay would say that. She's like, you're like a 90-year-old man out here. And I'm like, you know what? You're right.
You know, Beth will get on me. She's like, you're supposed to be relaxing and enjoying yourself.
Can't.
And I'm thinking, would you just see that jackrabbit just cut me off?
Right. Yeah.
You know, he's on the wrong side of the water.
Coming at me head on, yelling at me like I'm doing something wrong.
Right. And but that's just the guy I want to stop and be like, hey, let's have a conversation.
Just remember, kids, you drive like you're on the road.
Yep.
And if you need to cut across the other side, it's like turning, you know, from 44 to Preston.
There are several 40-plus-year-old men that need to take the boater safety course.
Oh, yeah. It should be a requirement.
It should be, because
it needs to be turned into a requirement.
They don't understand, you know, here's a funny story. A good friend of ours down at the lake. This guy was coming straight at me on the wrong side of the lake, and I'm cussing him like a dog. I'm flipping him off. What's our buddy?
Oh.
And I'm like, dude, don't you know?
Yeah.
How? I mean, would you ride your car on this side of the lake?
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, they just think it's just if you're floating, you can go wherever.
Yeah.
No, it's happening. It gets worse every year.
Well, yeah, because sometimes you get these young, and I tell you what's really bad is when you see these 12 and 13 year olds on jet skis that really shouldn't be on these fast jet skis that are doing 70 mile an hour.
Right.
You know, that's how you have accidents.
So my son, he took a buddy of his on the jet ski one time,
mm-hmm.
and they left, and he come pulling up. You know, he was gone about a half an hour, and he come pulling up, and I said, Trey, where's your buddy? He didn't even realize his buddy fell off.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
We had to go back and find his buddy, and he was back in he swam to the cove somewhere to get up. But he had fell off the jet ski about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, and you know, you get all these young kids.
And Trey didn't even realize it.
Right, you know, and these jet skis, they're making them faster and faster every year.
Yeah. So, can I tell you that I'm thinking about making my first Karen Facebook post?
Please do.
Well, I need your opinion on this.
Oh, yeah, I got one.
So, it was Memorial Day. The day after Memorial Day, I go down to the dock, and there is firework debris all over my boat.
Okay.
All over it.
Mm-hmm. So my neighborhood's not the only one lighting off fireworks all weekend.
We support fireworks. Shout out Four Fingers.
Right.
I'm fine with
fireworks.
Whatever. But I almost went to our neighborhood Facebook group, mm-hmm. which I've never done. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do we have to let off fireworks at the boat dock?
Right.
You know, and I thought it through, and I was like, well, somebody's going to say, well, you should just cover your boat up. No, I'm not going to cover my boat up every single night.
You're not?
No.
Okay, period. First of all, that's a problem.
You don't.
You're right.
Cover your boat up.
I do.
No, you do not. I've been down when we got off your boat,
mm-hmm.
we all went straight up to your house.
Was we drunk?
Yeah.
Well, that's why.
Well, that's just about every time. That's just about every time.
Okay.
But so should I put a cover on the boat in fear of fireworks? How about we just don't let them off at the boat ramp?
I would agree with that. I mean, and they're probably thinking they were doing the right thing by having them go out over the water so they didn't have a mess to clean up.
But you don't see the 27 boats that are 15 feet. I mean, it was covered.
Like with what kind? Like firecrackers?
Black soot. Is that a word?
It is. Soot's a word, yeah.
First, I thought it was burned.
Ooh, that would have been bad.
Oh, I was going to lose it.
Yeah.
I was going to lose it.
Right.
Because
your boat's only, 3 years old?
Yeah. But I took cleaner and just cleaned it off. And it all came off, so it mm-hmm. was fine.
Right.
But I thought, I'm about ready to make my first Karen Facebook post.
Is it too late to make it?
I don't think so. Because they left fireworks off all the time down there.
Okay. Well, if they're doing it all the time, then I would say, hey, you know, folks.
Well, I say all the time.
I would start out by folks. Be respectful.
So the Facebook post should start out, hey, folks.
Hey, folks.
I just want to talk about. So when I write this out, do I say, I don't want to be a Karen, but.
I am a Karen. I wouldn't even mention the Karens. I'd just say,
listen, people.
Listen, hey, folks, for all you ungrateful people out there that are destroying my boat.
I need to start it better than that. Because I don't want it to be like, here he goes again.
Well, don't let Shay write it because it will be all politically correct and there won't be no sarcasm in it.
And it'll be up 2.5 pages.
Yeah, so we don't need all that because nobody wants to see that little thing that says read more.
If she writes it, it'll come with a backstory.
Yeah.
About the purchasing of the boat.
Right, and everything you went through and trading in your old boat and how much you got for it.
How we bought the lake house back when we dated, we were 16.
Right. That time you were caught sneaking out of the other girl's window.
Right.
It'll
all be in there.
Right.
So, but I don't know how to write it without,
I'll send it to you.
I like my neighborhood.
Well, you have a great neighborhood, but apparently you have some people that do not respect your property.
But if you started out, I don't want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're being that guy.
For sure.
If you say,
the same thing as, I don't mean this in a bad way.
You mean it in a bad way.
You mean it in a bad way.
Because I'm writing it with 100% bad intentions.
Well, you should write it. You should write whatever you feel. But send it to me. Let me see it before you, because I'm not on your Facebook page.
You going
to
edit it?
I don't want to edit it. I just want to give
see
my two
cents.
See
how I do it?
Mm-hmm.
I want, because I know a lot of, I mean, I've been down there forever.
Right.
That's why I don't post anything.
Are you like the mayor?
No, but I mean, I've been there long enough to maybe run for mayor down there.
Okay.
Of the HOA.
Of the HOA.
No, I'm already the self-appointed HOA at the other place.
Oh.
So I think that's a guideline rule.
Yeah, you can't be two HOA presidents.
But you can't let off fireworks down by the around people's boats. And I know the comeback's going to be, well, you just need to cover your boat up.
What if a spark come off air and caught your cover on fire?
That's true. No, it's a gas tank. I mean, it's my boat. There's several boats down there.
I don't think that's going to be a comeback. You should cover your boat, because that would be ridiculous. Because if somebody come back to me with that, I would unload on them.
We go out at night a lot.
What do y'all do?
So, well, that's for the uncensored podcast that we do. But, and we come back, it's pitch dark.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
rides are great because there's nobody out.
Yeah, I can barely find my way up the ramp, much less find the cover to cut. Can you imagine me out there covering a boat?
That'd be tough.
Midnight, yeah, when it's pitch dark and Shay helping me?
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen. But I got to figure out a way to ride it to where it comes across as, hey, man, I'm still cool.
Right.
I'm still the cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
Out of my boat, just chilling.
Right.
But
can you let them off, like, maybe in your yard?
Up the hill.
Yeah.
It's a big hill.
It's a huge hill.
Yeah. So you can, you know.
Maybe what about maybe on the boat ramp?
How about you drive out on your, no, not on the boat ramp.
Is that too close to your boat?
Yeah, it's right. That's where they are.
Oh, is that where we're letting them
pretty
off?
Pretty much. Oh, yeah. We're right on the boat ramp.
Okay. I didn't know if they were on the dock itself. Like,
well, how about you take them out on your boat out in the middle of the water?
That's
and
good
let them
idea.
Off?
Well, they don't want to get soot on theirs.
They don't want it on their boat. That's my whole point.
Their boat's probably at the other end. It's not getting no soot.
So we need to, maybe by the next podcast, I'll put it up, and we'll see what kind of response I get.
Yeah, that'd be good. I like to see that. And can I join the Facebook page?
Probably. Well, they asked for your address. You'd have to use mine. Everybody
that's
knows
not
it's
a problem.
My address.
I'll pull one up. Yeah, I'll just pull it up on MLS.
There's 50 lots down there that are empty.
Yeah. So I'll do that. I'll join it, and then I'll keep it going. I'm going to keep commenting on it and might be giving you some hell on it and stuff. You know, be like, dang, Karen, really? We're just trying to have some fun.
And that's what I'm worried about, is because usually what happens is you put this up, somebody comments, and then it gets worse. Just like when they were crushing you in the parking lot. Like, you wouldn't comment on nothing because you knew it was going to just make it worse.
Sure. So what's your neighborhood called?
Nolan Estates.
Nolan Estates. For everybody listening out there, go out there and make up a fake address and join Nolan Estates Facebook page. And then when Kevin posts this, let's just really, man.
What a Karen.
Yeah, it's just blasting. So just keep doing that.
Is there a guy name for the Karen?
It's got to be Kevin.
I don't think so. It can't be another K.
Larry?
Larry. I don't mean to be a Larry.
Right.
But, so, well, I'm going to think it through.
Oh, don't think it through. You can't.
You just blast it. That's what most people do when they post, though.
You can't think it through, because if you think it through, you won't do it. You just got to go on instinct. And just be aggressive.
Should I throw in the jet skiers?
Oh yeah, and the wakeboard guys.
And also,
if your truck matches your wakeboard Mastercraft,
oh, that's every time.
Let me show you what you got wrong with you.
That's every time.
Right.
They're definitely gonna do that.
That's gonna be a good one. I'm actually gonna join it right now. I'm gonna pull up the MLS and
put in an address.
Put in an address and figure out.
Use my neighbor's address. They ain't been down a year and a half.
They want to sell.
I've begged them to sell it.
They won't sell it?
Begged them to sell it. They probably
don't like their neighbors while they don't come down.
It is a flip gold mine.
Really?
Yeah. It's down the hill from us, and we're three houses from the water.
Do they not like their neighbors? Is that why they don't come
down?
They
come down and mow the grass and then leave.
Man, at least they're mowing the grass. That's good.
I don't get it. He called me about a month after my tree fell down to let me know that a tree fell down.
Cool.
Yeah.
Appreciate
that.
He
said, hey, I'm mowing around your tree that fell down. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to get to it.
Yeah.
So I should have put a post up about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor, I wish he would have put a post up about the tree.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be joining that Facebook page. So you'll start seeing some posts from me.
We'll address this in future podcasts.
Oh, it's going to be a good one.
Okay. So the other one I got down here is, a Bogard light update. Would you like a Bogard light update?
Not really. I could care less.
Well,
it doesn't affect me.
It does the people of Mount Washington.
Mm-hmm. The land of milk and honey.
Apparently, knowing the Gentry Clark, you know, family.
Mm-hmm. Does nothing for you?
The royal family.
Right. The first family of Mount Washington. I was actually had lunch with King Greg Gentry.
Why don't
today.
You ask King Greg Gentry
why
we can't get the light fixed? Because apparently we're waiting on the fire marshal.
Ah, fire marshal. State fire marshal or your local one?
I don't know. I mean, this comes from...
Well, Casey's on the fire board, and he can't even pull some strings.
Casey's busy. He's got nine businesses to run.
And, oh, shout out to Casey and Tammy for the adoption.
Getting their adoption done. That's right. That's right. So he's got two new kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, it's firework season, obviously.
It's getting close.
I bet he won't like that post.
No, because he's all about some fireworks.
Right.
That's why he's only got four fingers.
That's right. So he's got too many businesses, but apparently Queen Gentry put up about that we're waiting on the fire marshal.
Queen Gentry works for us.
I know, but why are we, what's the fire marshal have to do with a red light? That red light's been up for almost 2 months not functioning.
Yeah,
and it's a hot topic almost every day. The administrator basically posted one time on the Mount Washington, my community, if y'all keep posting about the Bogart light, I'm just going to take it down.
Yeah.
So,
everything you're talking about means squat to me. It doesn't affect me.
I know, but it affects a lot of listeners.
It does, and I appreciate that, and I feel bad for them. But you need to call your state representative, because that's who it goes through, because it is a state road, not
Thomas Huff.
Thomas Huff.
Thomas Huff got a lot of the light going.
Yep. So I would call Thomas Huff and be like, "Hey, can you make a phone call to the state fire marshal, and can we get this going?"
Is there a state fire marshal?
Sure.
Well, what do they got to do with what do they have to do with the red light?
I guess casers make sure there's no fire's going to happen.
So every red light gets inspected by the fire marshal.
Well, apparently. Who told you that needed a Queen Gentry?
Queen Gentry.
Okay, well, she would know.
She would know. She said that's the hold up right now. So we need to, I thought
Let me make some phone calls.
Can you make some phone calls and see if you can
Let me see if I can help you out.
That would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That would make everybody... That would make several of your listeners very happy.
Okay. Well, let's see if I can't make that happen.
Al Pacino one-upped Robert De Niro.
He did, boy. He went above and beyond.
So, Robert De Niro...
was he 80?
Got a lady pregnant at 79.
79? I thought he was 80-something.
79. Al Pacino one-upped him at 83.
83. And his girlfriend, Al Pacino's girlfriend, is 29.
29?
29.
Which one was 46? That's De Niro's.
That's De Niro's.
Oh, 29. Well, I'm sure she loves him for the... personality.
Yeah, definitely for his personality. Now, you're telling me at his age at 83 that it was done naturally?
I wasn't there.
You wasn't?
But, I mean, we've made medical progress. So,
I don't think there's enough Cialis on the market that could help that guy.
It's Al Pacino.
I know. I can respect it. And I think he's a great actor.
He's been in, like, everything. Is he the Say Hello to My Little Friends? That's not Al Pacino,
is it?
That's
not Al Pacino.
No, that's in a famous movie, though.
Yeah,
but he's that guy. So, these guys just get it done.
At 83.
Have you seen Sylvester Stallone? He's still jacked. He's 75.
Yeah, but do you think she got pregnant for child support? Because now she's going to leave him. Is that an option? I'm sure there's some kind of...
No. Well, but child support is cannot be prenupped. You can't prenup. Oh, if you get me pregnant,
I can't.
Do you
think he has a prenup?
I don't know.
Oh, 100%. She's 29. What do you think
Well, what's he going to do with his money? What's he going to prenup it to do what with?
He's got kids that are not newborns.
That
are like 70.
That's right. I was going to say, his kids are 65.
Right. His kids are drawing Social Security checks.
So they don't need the money.
I mean, but... Here's what blows my mind is, what does a 29-year-old, very good-looking female find in an 83-year-old man, other than he's Al Pacino?
He's Al Pacino. That's 100%.
So you don't think it has nothing to do with money? You don't think she's a gold digger? Wasn't there a song about that?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Well, we can't really say the lyrics on here. No, I get it. I understand. The concept's not above my understanding.
Right.
I mean, Donald Trump's married to a Brazilian model.
Yeah. But there's not that age gap.
He's 70.
She's 40-something.
Okay, I thought you were talking about De Niro.
No, Pacino.
Yeah, no, if you're 29. Nine,
and he's 83?
Yeah, you're looking down the road. But what if there is a prenup?
I'm sure there is a prenup.
So if there's a prenup, what is she, the lifestyle?
The lifestyle, and I'm sure the prenup, she's probably still getting a hefty monthly income. Once he passes.
Once you have the baby.
We're
not killing him off yet. I mean, he's still...
No.
If at 83...
Apparently, he's still performing. He's getting her done. He's
getting the job done at 83. He's
But she's 29.
I understand.
I mean, how does she look at mom and dad and be like, well, he's the same age as your grandpa? It's
because dad, you know? Dad can go, man, that's cool. It's Al Pacino.
It's Al Pacino.
There are guys that are just cool. Clint Eastwood.
Oh, 100%. Cool. Yes.
Al Pacino. He's cool. Mm-hmm. All them guys, they're just...
Chuck Norris.
Right. You don't think Chuck Norris is still...
Oh, Chuck Norris is the man.
Right. What I'm saying.
Right.
So, I mean, you got...
I think he looks at women and says, you're pregnant.
Yeah. And they get pregnant. And that, right.
That's how it happens.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris can do it all.
There are guys, there's 8 to 10 guys that are just cool.
Yeah. 2.0 is one of them.
I mean, he does. He's got a mechanical bull...
Right.
On the way to his house.
Right now. Right. We'll test it out.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I mean, good for him. I mean, the baby's never going to want for nothing, so it's always a great thing.
Well, yeah. You know,
the baby's going to have a great life. So, but if you can still knock it out of the park at 83, rock on, brother.
I just wonder if he has the ego to where he was like, oh, let me show you, De Niro.
Hmm.
You got that done. Because his girlfriend was 45, right?
Yeah, she was in her 40s, I think.
Yeah, so she's over the hill compared to...
Yeah, compared to 29.
Right. I just think that is and a...
Did you see a picture of her?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a classic Al Pacino move.
It is. I mean...
So...
She's... She hit the home run, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
What do you... Did you see the story that the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is changing its name?
No, I didn't.
It's over.
It's over?
It's over.
Why? Did somebody get offended? It's Oscar Mayer Wieners. They had a song.
No, I know. But he didn't... He sang a... That was about baloney.
It's still Oscar Mayer.
Right, but it went about the Oscar Mayer Wiener.
It's still the same company.
I understand. So, no, I agree with you.
So tell me about it.
Well, I don't know the whole story. I just know they just said
you're going to bring something to the table and don't even know what
happened. Here's all the content they had. Mm-hmm. It's time to change the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile to the Frankmobile.
To the Frank?
Frank.
Hmm.
It's going to now be called the Oscar Mayer Frankmobile.
That's horrible.
I know.
It wasn't here just in Kentucky a few weeks ago or a month ago or something?
But it didn't say anything about somebody being offended. This is something they just decided to do on their own.
Just a different marketing plan.
Right, but why would you change a marketing plan? That's like getting rid of Tony the Tiger.
It's iconic to Oscar Mayer.
I know.
For probably 30 years.
This is a poor marketing decision. Because who wants to go see the Frankmobile?
Nobody.
No.
I want to see the Oscar Mayer mobile.
The Wienermobile.
The Wienermobile.
But the problem is there's not a dude in the planet that can't say that without giggling.
Or a girl sometime these days.
Right, but see, to me, that's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a Wienermobile.
It's a Wienermobile.
It looks like a Wienermobile.
Sure.
So are they going to change the look of it? There's no content to this. I looked. There's nothing to it other than it's time.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean...
There's not like people picketing...
But you're right. It'd be like taking Tony Tiger away.
Yeah, or the
Captain Crunch.
The Cheetos guy.
Oh, yeah. Flaming... The Cheetah?
Yeah, the Cheetah.
Yeah.
The dude that wears the sunglasses.
Right, he's cool. Right. Well, he's Al Pacino cool.
What? That's what I'm talking about. So,
but, I don't know. I mean, some of these companies, man, I just don't understand. You know, just do your thing and sell your product and don't worry about nothing else. I mean, the Wienermobile is iconic.
I know. And it used to go to ball games.
Yes.
They could sit outside. And when you have something that everybody can look at it and go, there's the Wienermobile.
Right. You know what it is as soon as you see it.
Who? Now these kids are going to grow up going, man, there's the Frankmobile.
Yeah. Yeah, these kids these days are screwed.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about the Flintstones. They don't know anything about Wienermobiles.
No. No. None of those things.
It's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you see Tina Turner died.
I did, boy. She was awesome.
So that was one of my, growing up, was like my... You know, we always...
You wanted to be like Ike, didn't you?
Well, not like Ike so much, but it was one of them things that, like, you'd be in the car with your buddies, and it'd come on, and you'd be like, well, you can change that if you want to. I mean, it's really up to you.
Right.
And then your buddy be like, oh, man, it's cool. Just whatever. We can just get...
And everybody wanted to hear it.
Because you really wanted just to hear it.
Absolutely.
But it got me thinking back to, do you remember when they did the Columbia House,
I think I still owe them, like...
$20,000. Because you remember you would get like, I don't know.
Was it four CDs for a penny or six for a penny?
No, I'm going back to the cassette tapes.
Oh, yeah.
you would get like 15 cassette tapes. And if you ordered now, they throw in like six more for
right,
a penny.
Right. You just checked off. You had a big old list. You just checked which ones you wanted.
And then when that, I mean, it took like 6 weeks to get them.
Right.
Unlike now. Mm-hmm. But when those cassette tapes showed up, because I remember my first box.
I remember getting them. I remember when I was supposed to get them and I was living in an apartment and somebody stole them off my apartment steps and they still wanted to charge me for them.
Right. Mine was, I can't remember all of them, but I know it was Prince, Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. Tina Turner.
Which Michael Jackson? Was it bad?
No. This is
Thriller?
This had to be Thriller because this was like 84 or 85. Because I was like, because I had this, I had this tape player. It had lights on it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the songs I said in their cassettes I'd play is Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite?
Crap. What was the name of that? I knew you were going to ask me, and I just completely blanked on it. I can't think of it.
She was an icon. You know, she's up there with like Whitney Houston.
Yeah,
you know.
I haven't listened to a Tina Turner song in forever, but it was just when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd sit there and listen to them. But it was more about whatever happened to Columbia House. Did anybody ever pay their bills off?
I don't think so. I mean, I can't imagine.
What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yep.
That's the one.
What they about always, Proud Mary?
They played at Skating Rink. Yep, yeah, that's a remake.
Yeah, but it was still
pretty
good.
Better from mm-hmm. hers. But What's Love Got to Do with It was the one that everybody listened to.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I thought, I just was trying to think of.
What's Love Got to Do?
It sounded pretty much just like that.
Right.
Because I think you're right. I think we're still paying off. Because wasn't it like your next three CDs were like $82 or tapes or something?
I don't think I ever went to that step.
Right.
I don't think I got the next three.
Yeah, because that was like the greatest thing ever in that box.
Columbia. Boy, I ain't heard that name in forever.
Yeah.
What year did they go out of business?
They might still be in business.
No, there's no way.
I might still own money.
Is it the Columbia like record company?
I think that, well, they were a producer.
Okay.
So that's how they were able to do that. It was basically a way to get people to listen to their music.
Sure, sure, sure. It was a great marketing scheme.
It was a great marketing scheme. But did anybody ever pay the bill?
I'm sure Shay did. You know, they were nerds like that.
Going after Brad and Frank. We got to send this in.
What was it called? Columbia?
Columbia House.
Yeah.
Business.
Record Club. I just had to research it. So, it's still open.
So what do you order? Seven downloads for a penny?
No, DVDs. $9.95 each. Boy, they've come way up, haven't they?
DVDs?
DVDs.
Yeah, because they're I mean, who... When's the last time you played a DVD?
Oh, okay. So I take that back. So Google has now told me on June 29th, 2011, they went bankrupt.
I knew it. That makes complete sense.
Right.
Because no way you can get nine cassette tapes for a penny.
Right.
And stay in business.
They established in 1955. So that was back when they had eight tracks.
Right. And... the cassette tapes, I think the point was you would order more.
Yeah. That's what their hope was, or promote their artist.
Right. But it doesn't, I mean, it sounds like a good marketing plan, but I don't know if it's a good business plan.
Yeah.
No.
So, they had, at one time, they had 125,000 members that ordered cassettes from them. Started out in actually Terre Haute, Indiana. So, yeah, Columbia, boy, I heard that in forever.
Right.
If they knew what the collection process was, boy, everybody would be on everybody's credit report.
Oh, everybody's probably got Columbia House.
You would never be able to buy a house because you had to pay Columbia off first.
When that judge bankrupted that company and allowed it, he was just like, look, let's just let this go, man. I mean, he's like, even the judge was like, dude, I've got tapes that I haven't paid
off.
Did
you ever pay the penny?
Who pays the penny? Because back then you had to write a check. They didn't have, you know, debit.
Venmo.
I wonder if you had to, like, put your credit card on the
Did they
file.
Have credit cards back then?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, they had credit cards. But did you, like, have to put it on file?
I don't know, but I don't think I ever mailed a penny in for any of them.
Nobody ever mailed a penny in. Or is there some dude just sitting around with pennies stacked everywhere?
Probably.
And he never, you remember you had to roll them pennies up before you took them to the bank?
Yeah. Now they get mad if they're rolled. They unroll them.
No, now you got to go to the Coinstar.
No, I ain't going to Coinstar. My bank has a Coinstar in it. They don't charge you 18%.
Right. Well, that makes sense to me. So, all right, where is that? Where are we at?
Where are we at time-wise, 2.0?
33. All right, that's good.
Yeah. So I think we'll cut it off here, and it's going to be a good podcast.
I got a topic or two that I can...
roll over?
I was going to talk about you being a sellout, but I'll get to that.
Oh, God. I'll get to that later on. Boy, I tell you what, we're going to have an argument over that one.
We'll talk about that later on.
Hey, guys, so make sure you share this podcast and let us know what you think about it. Please, everybody, go join the Kevin's Facebook page on his lake house so we can, when he makes that post, we can all contribute to it.
And go find us on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, don't forget, we're uploading YouTubes now. 2.0 is doing a great job with the video graphics on that.
Yeah, it's very
cool. Up there. Subscribe to it so that way you never miss an episode. And you don't have to listen to them now. You can always check back with us later. So until next time.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Just follow us on all the social media platforms. Just search TC Realty. And be prepared every Monday. We're dropping new episodes. In the famous words of Dre.
Just chill till the next episode.